shiny black leather leggings lined with rows of dull gray metal studs along the outside seams. Her face was elfin, with high cheekbones, a tilted nose, a slightly sharpish chin, and delicate lips that were curved into a pleasant smile. Her eyes were bright green, and they were smiling too. She wore her chestnut hair tied into a tight bun at the back of her head. "What were you expecting?" she asked. "Some great brute of a policeman, maybe?" There was a lilt in her voice that Grant had never heard before. Charming, musical. "I guess I was," he said, smiling back at her as he followed her gesture and took the chair in front of her desk. "Oh, we have them, too," she said as she sat back in her little swivel chair. "On a station this size, you need a few thumpers here and there, now and then." Grant pictured some of the stern-faced, beefy security guards he'd seen at school. "Now then," O'Hara said lightly. "The director's all fussed about you prying into the station schematics, looking to find out what he's got in the annex." "I was curious." "Of course you were. Everybody is. But the director is just a wee bit paranoid about the annex. It's his special project, you know." "I didn't know," Grant said. "How could you, seeing that you just arrived an hour or so ago?" She shrugged her slim shoulders. "Well, I'm required to put you through the standard security briefing, and there's nothing for it. I'll try to run through it quickly enough so we can get finished with it before the cafeteria closes for the night." Grant asked, "What time is it here?" O'Hara shook her head sorrowfully. "They didn't even give you a chance to adjust your clock, did they?" Grant realized he liked the security chief. In fact, he thought he was going to enjoy the briefing. Our intellectual cousins. He didn't. Once she got started on the station's security regulations, O'Hara became strictly business. She called up on her wall screen a bewildering set of rules and restrictions, then quizzed Grant about them mercilessly for what seemed like hours. At last, with a reluctant, "I suppose that will have to do," she dismissed Grant, but only after telling him that the cafeteria would stop serving dinner in 15 minutes. "I don't know where the cafeteria is," Grant bleated. "Turn right outside my door and follow your nose," O'Hara said. Grant got up from the chair, aching slightly from having sat in it for so long. "Better dash," O'Hara said. "What about you? Aren't you going to eat?" She sighed heavily. "I hope so, but I've got a bit of work to finish first. Scamper now." Grant headed straight for the cafeteria, stopping only to use one of the wall phones to find its exact location. He could have followed his ears, he realized as he approached the busy, crowded, clanging, clattering, noisy cafeteria. For the first time since he'd left Earth, Grant found himself in a familiar environment. The odors of food, real cooked food instead of the microwaved packaged meals he'd had aboard Roberts, almost brought tears of joy to his eyes. The cafeteria was a wide, busy, open area on both sides of the station's main corridor. Against the curving bulkheads on either side stood steam tables and automated dispensing machines, apparently the same on both sides. A few other latecomers were lined up there with trays in their hands, making their dinner selections. Tables were scattered across the carpeted floor, except for the cleared area of the corridor. People walked back and forth, picking tables, finding friends. Grant realized that he didn't know anyone in this crowd. Even though half the tables were empty, there must have been more than 100 men and women there, chatting, eating, laughing noisily, and all of them were strangers to him. Then he spotted Egon Kallstad sitting at a table with two women and a muscular-looking black man. But there were no empty chairs at the table. So Grant went through the line glumly, expecting to eat alone or with strangers. His mood quickly changed, though, once he saw the quality and variety of the food available. The meats were undoubtedly soy derivatives or other synthetics, but the vegetables looked crisp and fresh, and the fruits seemed straight out of the Garden of Eden, luscious and tempting. "Those flowers on Moe's desk are real," Grant told himself. "They must have tremendous hydroponics farms here." He loaded his tray, even taking the largest-sized cup of soy milk the machines offered, then wandered through the maze of tables, looking for a place to sit.
"Archer!"
someone shouted.
"Grant, over here!"
He turned to see Karlstad standing and waving at him. Feeling immensely grateful, Grant headed toward his table.
"I don't want to interrupt," he said lamely as he reached the table. All four seats were still occupied.
"Nonsense," Karlstad snapped as he pulled a chair from the next table, startling the couple who were hunched toward each other deep in intense conversation. Grant carefully laid his tray on the table and sank into the proffered seat.
"Thank you," he said.
He took his plates and cup off the tray, then, as he had seen others do, slid the tray under his chair. He started to say a swift, silent grace over his food, but Karlstad interrupted.
"Ursula van Neumann," Karlstad said, pointing to the petulant-looking blonde Valkyrie sitting on Grant's left.
She smiled as if it hurt her face.
"Urs is one of our best computer docs. You have a problem with a simulation or an analysis, go see Ursula."
She nodded somberly. "He tells that to so many that I am always swamped with work." Before Grant could reply, Karlstad turned to the other woman, a petite Oriental with a face as round and flat as a saucepan. "Tomiko Hideshi, physical chemist."
"You come to see me," Hideshi said, with a sparkle in her dark eyes, "if you have a problem understanding the chemistry going on in Europa's ocean."
Everyone at the table laughed, except Grant.
"I'm afraid I don't get the joke," he admitted.
Hideshi touched Grant's arm gently.
"The joke is that no one understands the chemistry going on under that damned ice. They've been splashing around in it for more than 10 years now, with 30 years of automated probes before that, and the complexity is still beyond us."
"Oh," said Grant, "I see."
"I wish I did," Hideshi answered ruefully.
"And this big bruiser here," Karlstad said, jabbing a thumb toward the black man, "is Zareb Muzarawa, Fluid Dynamics."
"My friends call me Zeb," said Muzarawa in a slow, deliberate tone. From the looks of him, muscular build, shaved scalp, a trim beard tracing his jawline, red-rimmed eyes of deepest brown, Grant expected his voice to be a powerful, leonine rumble. Instead, it came out soft, almost amiable, despite his grave attitude. Then he smiled, and all the fierceness of his bearded face vanished in a warm friendliness. Muzarawa was wearing a comfortable soft turtleneck pullover. Grant could see that his trousers were black, metal-studded leggings, the same as Lane O'Hara had worn. Van Neumann wore a sleeveless chemise, cut low enough to show how amply she was built. Hideshi was in frayed olive-drab coveralls. Grant said, "I'm very happy to meet all of you." He started to put his fork into the salad he'd selected, but Hideshi interrupted him with,
"What's your discipline?"
"I'm an astrophysicist."
"Astrophysicist?"
With a nod, Grant added, "My special field of study is stellar collapse. You know, supernovas, pulsars, black holes, stuff like that."
"What in the name of sanity are you doing here?" Van Neumann asked.
"Why did Dr. Wo pick you?" Karlstad added.
Grant could only shrug.
"I'm doing my public service duty. I don't think Dr. Wo asked for me in particular. I'm just the bright boy that the personnel board sent here."
Karlstad nodded knowingly.
"Just a warm body to fill an open slot."
But Muzarawa countered.
"I'm not so sure of that. The director is always very careful about his personnel selections. Very exact. No one comes to this station unless he wants that precise individual."
Grant knew that was wrong. He'd been sent to this station to spy on Dr. Wo and the other scientist. "Maybe Wo knows that," he thought suddenly. "That's why he's so ticked at me."
Van Neumann's brows knit into a worried frown.
"Well, there's no astrophysics work for you to do here, that's for certain."
Grant looked at each of his four companions. Biophysics, computer engineering, physical chemistry, and fluid dynamics.
What did it add up to, he wondered.
Aloud, he asked, "Just what is the work you're doing here?"
Hideshi quickly answered, "Ursula and I are supporting the teams investigating the Galilean moons."
Turning to Muzarawa, "And you?"
Muzarawa glanced at the ceiling, then replied guardedly,
I'm part of a different team, studying Jupiter.